Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, this is your official Leguizamo-rama spoiler warning. If you're a massive Val Kilmer fan and you've been planning on watching Joe the King, I'd watch the movie first and then listen to this podcast because we spoil the whole movie. But also if you're just a fan of really, really sad, depressing films with no uplifting vibe whatsoever, maybe you should also watch Joe the King because that was very much the feeling of this movie. Anyway, spoiler warning. Thank you so much.
Peace. I hate the word.
I got one leg is gonna fuck to the chicken.
Gonna put a little cornstarch on my werewolf, man.
Luigi Mario.
Hello and welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamo-rama. A podcast where two people sit down sometimes in a room for the bulk of the history of this podcast on a Zoom. They sit down and they talk about a film, a game, no games yet, but a series, a telly show, an online sketch, a music video, a piece of media starring their favorite actor and one they believe is viciously underrated in America and disgustingly underrated elsewhere, which is even more than vicious, John Leguizamo. I'm one of those two hosts. My name is Zachary Ruane. You might know me from having delayed and cancelled every single screening, both solo and featuring my co-partner Mish in Melbourne and Sydney for the last 3 months. I'm joined as always by Mish Wittrup. Sorry, I've just watched the most depressing movie ever and I'm in lockdown. I'm not bringing the joy. I'm joined as always by Mish Wittrup, who you might know from.
I don't have the ability to bring it up for either of us. Like, usually if Zach or I are in a bit of a slump, the other one will be like, "All good, I'll take this and I'll make it upbeat." But like Zach said, we just watched the saddest fucking movie of all time, and we're currently in our 76th lockdown. Doing this over Zoom. Neither of us have a highly, you know, strong internet connection.
No.
We both look very tired considering we're in lockdown. So I'm thinking that the vibe of this episode is going to be super chill.
It's a chill one.
It's a chill one, guys.
It's two people that are just embracing.
Yeah.
You know, I had a moment the other night where I was feeling really, really sad and I was getting all worked up about it. Because I didn't have any real reason to feel sad. I'm staying home. I love my home. I love my partner. I love my dog. I'm home, you know? And so I was fighting it. And then I was like, no, Zach, embrace the sadness. Be one with the sadness. I had a very Buddhist mindfulness moment where I just was like, I am sad. This is how I am. And I think that's the tone of this podcast.
100%. There's something I've learned about myself in since this whole global pandemic. Look it up.
What's this?
Is that it's
what's this? What's this?
I don't wiki it, cunt. Like, just jump on the wiki. I reckon if you wikied global pandemic, it'd be in there.
Yeah.
Is that I love a thought-provoking film.
Yeah,
I love something in depth, something with layers, something that makes you think beyond the seeing of it. But every time we go into lockdown, all my brain can take, are shitty YouTube videos and really, really trashy reality television. So I've been watching nothing but The American Bachelorette and Love Island UK for the last 2 weeks. And then somewhere in the middle of watching these 22-year-olds pretend that they're on a reality television show to fall in love when in fact they're just there to be half naked near a pool, brand themselves so that they can get a teeth whitening deal at the end of it. Some are in the middle of watching TV shows of drunk 22-year-olds making kisses in tropical resorts. I had to watch Joe the King. So I'm thrown. I'm very thrown.
I feel you. I oscillate pretty wildly with what I'm in the mood for. So, like, last night I watched we got Doc Play, me and Annie. We got Doc Play, which is an Australian streaming service. A friend of mine.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's great if you like documentaries. I don't mind documentaries. I like documentaries. It's one of the genres I like. But Annie, my partner, like, loves documentaries. Like, that's she would watch nothing but documentaries if she could.
Yeah.
So last night we were struggling to pick everything I want to watch right now. All of my lockdown vibes are not hers. Like, I want to watch Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
I want to watch, there's this show called like Fried and Fancy or something on Netflix about a man who just goes around eating fried things.
I've seen it.
Yeah. I want to watch.
That's my lockdown vibe.
Yeah. I want to watch, I genuinely just want to watch like, YouTube videos about architecture. That's the thing I'm on at the moment. Annie doesn't want to watch any of them. So we went to Doc Play and I watched probably the best documentary I've ever seen in my entire life. It's a film called Collective. It's incredibly depressing. So we're on the depressing vibe. It's incredibly depressing, but so subtly brilliant. It feels like All the President's Men or Spotlight. You seen Spotlight?
I've seen All the President's Men.
Oh, great, yeah. It's like a documentary version of All the President's Men. They just fly-on-the-wall documentary of these investigative journalists for about half of it, and then it, like, flips and becomes about a politician, and it just follows this journey. It's this, like, Romanian film about, like, corruption, and it just follows them, and it's like fly on the wall. You never meet the characters. There's no talking heads. You just follow them doing their jobs, and it's, like, so subtle but so brilliant in its structure. Loved that.
You had me at fried food cunt and lost me at this. This is so far removed from what my brain can take right now.
Same, babe. But it was so good that I was like, fuck yeah. But on top of that, right, so that's what I watched last night. And then after like an hour of not being able to decide what to watch with Annie because she embraces the depression and I tend not to. I tend to be more in the fried food cunt category, whereas Annie embraces the depression. We got through Lux Listings Sydney, which is a show about terrible people.
This sounds like something you'd like.
Lux Listings Sydney is like Selling Sunset, but for Sydney. Yep. It's like
That's great. All right, you got me. I'm back, baby. That's the shit I'm here for, Zach. I didn't start a podcast with you to hear about political docos.
Yeah, I
want to talk
fair.
About rich cunts and their mansions.
Oh, I got to tell you, well, then you will love Lux Listings Sydney from executive producer Kyle Sandilands.
Oh, delicious.
It's a phenomenal. It's like it's all about the best real estate agents in the eastern suburbs of Sydney.
So good. That's my shit. Yum, yum. Do you know what's interesting?
What?
People who tend to love documentaries. This is a generalization, so please call me out if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
People who tend to love documentaries aren't necessarily really into trashy reality television, which is interesting because both are studies of, like humanity. Often documentaries are, studies of humanity.
And they're both, like, you know, they're both much more constructed than, you know, they're Annie likes both, so that's good, you know.
Yeah. My partner can't handle the trashy reality television. I reserve the only 2 hours I have in every other day to watch good television with my partner. So we've started Mr. In Between.
Oh, okay, that sounds good.
It's just a good series. It's very good. It's Australian, filmed in Sydney, where my partner is from. So he
Jackson
has fun
Tozer,
pointing out.
A friend of mine is in season one.
He is, and he's in season one. That's all I've watched so far. Jackson Tozer, shout out to you,
Jackson.
You used to date a friend of mine's housemate.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's my connection to Jackson Tozer. Anyway.
So, Mr. In Between's good. Lex listing Sydney is fantastic. it's a lot of, like, there's this one guy that's like, I demand the best from my team. And that's why and then there's this one bit where he's like, I like to look, if you're selling beautiful houses, you have to look good. So then he goes to his tailor's house and the tailor's like, hey, man, I made you a suit. And it's real fun.
That's great. But that's very good though.
So that's what I was in. That's the sort of the extent of what I want to watch. Collective is something I had wanted to watch. And then I was like, look, we're here. And it was good, right? We also watched the Woody Allen documentary, a little too heavy for lockdown.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I'm just like, oh, no, I want fried food, cunt.
Yes, like, yes.
Yeah.
But this is what happens, you know, you negotiate through, you end up landing on Collective or Mr. In Between, and it's like we both just want to watch fried food. I don't even
Hashtag fried food, cunt.
I just want to play Tetris and eat fried. I want to be the fried food cunt. I want to play Tetris and be the fried food cunt. That's how I get through lockdown. Anyway, so I don't even remember the point I was trying to make. The point I was trying to make was that Collective is really, really good. but more than that, I have not really been in the mood for very depressing content.
Of course.
And that's a good framer for how engaged I was with the film we're about to talk about.
I'm glad you said it first, because similarly, I put it on. My head was not ready for it. The wiki description of this film is so vague. And I was like, maybe I could. And then about 20 minutes in, I was like, oh, it's that kind of film. And I couldn't do it anymore. I'm pretty sure I found a really good vegan cheese and I ate a block of vegan cheese on some Savoy crackers and just watched TikToks of people making their husband's dinner. It's my new favorite. It's like, hi guys, this is what I made for my husband's lunch. And they like pack their husband's lunch.
Have you seen the one where the lady's like, he wanted McDonald's and fries, so I made fries out of apples?
Oh, that wouldn't – yeah, that stuff. Oh, that's right up my street. That's the kind of – so while this incredibly depressing movie – I'll read the blurb in just a second. While this incredibly depressing movie was on, I was watching some very obedient woman make a sandwich.
Wow.
Just being like, my husband works so hard and this is what I'm making for him. It's
That's
like some
such
fucking
a
intricate
thing that you would be into. Of course you're into that.
Oh, and then they pack it, but they eat so much. It's like this intricate sandwich that they toast half of it and half of the shit inside it's cooked, and they cook that.
Good for
and
them.
Then they wrap it perfectly in like a beeswax wrapper, and then they put it in there with a snack pack and then an applesauce and a fucking Dr. Pepper.
If
and a whole
happy,
bunch of fucking corn syrup.
Listen, if they're happy, they're good for them. I worry that we've got a bit of a Julianne Moore in the hours situation here.
All I'm saying is that if you are one of those people that make those TikToks, slide into the DMs. Let us know. Are you happy?
Have you tried to kiss Toni Collette and then come back as an old person in Meryl Streep's story?
Is Toni Collette in the hours?
Have I made that up? Who does she try to kiss? I think Toni Collette is the one that comes in and she's like, oh, gossip, gossip, gossip. And then she tries to kiss her. And then
I haven't
she
seen
runs
the hours
away.
In years, but that's a good film.
Oh, what a good film. Do you know?
I won't be watching that for about another year.
No, fun fact about the hours, I went to look up Julianne Moore and it came up with Julianne Hough, the singer, no, the dancer. Yeah. The Hours, the evil bad man that produced that film, Miramax Weinstein, apparently bullied the director to get rid of the soundtrack. The soundtrack is done by Philip Glass. And it is, I saw that film when I was like 12, and the soundtrack is probably the part of the film that's like, that stayed with me the most. It's like the most, like I love Philip Glass because of that film. It's one of my favorite film soundtracks of all time. And apparently he was like, soundtrack shit. And like, apparently was like, talked to Nicole Kidman and was like, you should tell him to get rid of the soundtrack.
Seriously.
Not the worst thing he's done. Not even in the top 100.
But no, just, I wouldn't say so.
But also, it's just of note.
Noted. Just, thank you.
No worries.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Should I read the blurb for Joe the King?
Please.
Okay, so this is the film. It's called Joe the King.
Good name.
Here's a fun fact. The start of this whole Leguizamo-rama-rama journey, Zach and I made a spreadsheet with all of John Leguizamo's films. We went through everything he'd done in IMDb and we put it in a spreadsheet and we categorized them. And we missed this one.
Did we?
This was not in our spreadsheet.
How'd we miss it?
I don't know how. How did I hear about this? I heard about this movie somehow, watched the trailer, saw that Johnny Legs was in it, was like, why is that not in our spreadsheet? And it wasn't in our spreadsheet. We missed it, Zach. But we found it. It's back. So here we go. Joe the King. Right. Joe the King is a 1999 drama directed by Frank Whaley, who's acted in 100. Sorry. I would say so.
Interrupt.
It's directed by someone named Frank Whaley, who's acted in 120 films, but only directed 5, and this was his directorial debut. Joe the King. Joe is a disadvantaged preteen who lives with his alcoholic father, Val Kilmer, a super stressed mother, and an older brother who likes girls and sleeping. Joe works at a really shit diner run by a total madman who is very rude to him, his customers, and pretty much everyone, really. To save some money to buy his mum some records, Joe starts stealing money from the diner. This gets him into big trouble. This movie is very depressing and has no lightness at all. It's mostly just angry people being angry at each other and being super angry at poor Joe. Even his teacher is a total cunt. Johnny Legs plays George, a guy who works at the diner who is literally the only marginally nice person in the film, and even he slaps Joe in the face at one point.
It's a good, description. Kate Mara's in it. Little Kate Mara. That was a fun little moment.
Who's Kate Mara?
I'm going to Google it. I'm just Googling today. I'm not pretending to know.
Is Kate Mara related to Mara Wilson from Matilda fame?
No, she's related to Rooney Mara of Rooney Mara
Rooney Mara fame.
She was in Fantastic Four and House of Cards.
The Martian.
Fantastic Four was very bad. But anyway, she was the little cutie that the brother got it on with while he was kissing the older girl.
Yeah.
So I don't want to like the film is, I understand it, quite is semi-autobiographical. So I don't want to come for it.
Well, it's based on a book.
Is it? I thought it was based on his life. No, I thought it was based on the director's life.
On Frank Whaley's life?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't do much research, to be honest. I just...
No, that's fine. I did research while the film was on. And it, I don't want to... I feel like I need to just... the reason I was framing where I was at was to just be like, I don't think I'm in a... if I was a film reviewer, I would have to rewatch it because I was just like not in the headspace. Like, all I would be saying, if I gave it a review, all I would be saying was I wasn't in the mood for this film.
Okay.
Now,
Oddly enough, in a similar headspace, I can say of this film that I thought it was shot very well.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the acting was pretty damn good. The mum was stressed and I could tell that, and she was great. And, I mean, if you want, we can just spend the next, like, half an hour talking about Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer is acting his little socks off in this movie.
His little sockies. I feel like any actor in any Hollywood film, when given the opportunity to play an alcoholic, there would be a thought when they're driving home from signing that contract of, reckon I could get an award for this.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm. Like, there's something about alcoholic roles that people just gun. They just gun for it. Do you know who does it really, really, really well?
I can't wait to find out.
Crazy Heart. Jeff Bridges. Jeff Bridges?
I haven't seen Crazy Heart. I've heard it's really good.
It is so accurate to what a man of his age and his upbringing and his time and place would be like as a raging alcoholic. It is so accurate.
There's a kind of quiet disassociatedness to a real alcoholic that doesn't happen often in the acting. The acting is often very like, oh, I'm an alcoholic, whereas like a good one is very just like laid back almost.
Mm. Whoopi Goldberg did a spot on Drag Race in like season 10 or something. She describes it really well because one of the drag queens was doing a drunk bit for a stand-up bit and she was just like, no, you're not falling all over the place, you're not whatever. When you're drunk, when you're really properly drunk, and you don't want people to think that you're drunk, so you just stand still and focus. Mm. And she did a tight, like 10 seconds of drunk acting, not even 3 seconds of drunk acting on Drag Race. Phenomenal.
Fuck,
love you, Whoopi.
Fuck, Whoopi Goldberg is so good. I would do a Whoopi Doopy Doo podcast.
Oh, my God. A Whoopi Doopy Doo.
Or a Whoopi Doopy Doo film festival. Like, if we wanted to do that, it would be great. You could do Ghost. Because that's got Patrick Swayze.
That does, but I think Ghost has been seen too much. You'd want to do the ones that, like, although The Color Purple, you'd want to do that, hey?
Well, yeah, but, like, I feel like our screenings are more for fun and Color Purple is heavy.
Yes, that's okay.
Like, us doing an intro, like, oh, watch out for this funny little bit in The Color Purple. I don't think it'd hold up too well.
Our promo photos could be us at the clay wheel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'd be Patrick and you'd be Demi.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be nice. Ghost is so good. That's such a good film.
Great, like, interesting blend of genres. Like, I love it when two genres get put together, and that is a romantic thriller, a romantic supernatural thriller.
Yeah.
And that's a really interesting combo.
You don't see
romantic thrillers. I can't think of a single other romantic thriller that's not like, that's like a proper thriller. Like, there's I guess the Mexican, you know, there's sort of, you could maybe say Mr. Mrs. Smith.
I forgot about that film.
I think about the Mexican Christ. A lot. It was really mismarketed. Really? Yeah. Yeah, I remember I watched a thing about Hollywood once where they talked about how it was mismarketed, and I always thought it was such a great like little lesson in like selling what you... Because remember how it was advertised as like a full romantic film? It was really like... And the picture was of Brad Pitt and... what's her name?
Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts kissing. And then the actual film is like a... James Gandolfini starring thriller, and she's only in it for a couple of scenes.
And the poster of them kissing at the car, spoiler alert for the Mexican, is the final scene after she's been held hostage by gunpoint, and it's he rescues her after going through all this bullshit, and then he finally finds her and they have a kiss, and using that as the image, that's such a good point. It's like, this is a romance. It's like, no, that kiss happened at the end of a lot of savage shit.
And it was like people hated that film. It got like savaged by reviewers and audiences. Mm. And I remember reading though this thing, it was like, it was a pretty good film. It was a pretty good film. But then this guy, I remember on this like little Hollywood documentary, this guy was saying, but you go, if you go to a, if you put a sign up on your restaurant that says Chinese food and people walk in expecting Chinese food and all you serve is pizza and pasta, it doesn't matter if it's the best pizza and pasta in all of the town. If people are expecting Chinese food, you're getting a bad review.
Absolutely.
And that's why I think about the Mexican often.
I would totally watch that movie again. That's a lockdown watch. That is a lockdown watch.
But no, it isn't, because it's a lot more depressing and full on than you remember. You're thinking of the pretty image of them having
a kiss. I'm thinking of the kisses, yeah.
It's really kind of a full on film.
Oh, Jesus.
But no, yeah, this movie was really, it felt very personal. It felt like a very personal film. I thought it was a really interesting, like, for me, I think, like, I compare it to, like, one of my all-time favorite movies is...
Please say This Boy's Life, or is that the one I'm thinking
about? No, no, I was going to say Billy Elliot.
Oh, yep.
Love Billy Elliot. And... Actually, This Is England is a good reference point to this as well. But anyway,
I'm throwing this boy's life into the ring as well. If you haven't seen that,
not seen that.
Oh. So I was watching this film, and this is to not take away from Frank Whaley's story, to take away from the fact that it's a fucking harrowing story, and I can't imagine growing up that way. But This Boy's Life is done so well. It's Leonardo DiCaprio when he was young and Robert De Niro. And it's so fuck. I haven't seen it in so long, but no, I remember really loving that film because it is such a good little character study on, and also a real story on, abusive father, younger son, not living up to expectations kind of deal, you know?
And I think like Billy Elliot, This Boy's Life sounds like a much better reference point because Billy Elliot is the dad's quite nice, except for the bit where he's like, ballet. But I love Billy Elliot, and I love Billy Elliot because it tells the story of a disenfranchised people. It tells the story of a very depressing time and a very depressing set of circumstances for a lot of people. But it also has a narrative about someone getting out of it. It has a narrative... in contrast to the norm. And I think that that's a really, like, for my taste, I think a really beautiful kind of way to say it. Like, I come out of Billy Elliot and I go, wow, that's a really depressing time. I don't think everyone went off to ballet school. I think it takes a real freak occurrence to be able to get out of those circumstances. But then I engage with that film as a film because the story is bigger and more universal and everything. And yes. I think that's just really interesting. Like, I think that's a really great example of something I gravitate towards, which is like you can go to a very dark place, I think, and still have a story and have a narrative. And in fact, those things can contrast with the depressingness. Whereas this was very unrelentingly depressing, and I just wasn't in the mood for it.
Another movie that's completely relentless in how depressing it is, have you ever seen Winter's Bone?
No. I really want to, though.
Joe the King is not similar to Winter's Bone, but it is similar in the sense that they're both relentlessly depressing. And Winter's Bone is this little snapshot of a very, very, I was about to say small thumbnail of society, but, I mean, I think it's quite vast really, that live in poverty in middle America, and how absolutely ruthless it is. And it's a really, really interesting, from me and my little privileged Ivanhoe private school upbringing, is a real kind of eye-opening, I was about to say really enjoyable viewing experience, but enjoyable in the sense that, you know, it carries it. Like the depressingness is carried through while still maintaining some sort of entertainment. Does that make sense?
Nomadland is another great example.
I haven't seen that yet.
It's really, really good. But it's also pretty unrelenting. But there's this, like, I don't know. I don't know why Nomadland does it, because Nomadland doesn't have, like, a lightness or like Billy Elliot does. I think there's a beauty. There's also, like, a joy within it. Another great one is Once Were Warriors. Have you seen Once Were Warriors?
No. Is that a football movie?
No. It's a film from New Zealand about a Maori family, and it's like, it's one of my favorite movies. Full on, trigger warning, all that. Like, it's like really full on. But there's, and it's pretty consistently depressed, but there's like so much light and shade, and so much, it's so dynamic in the way that it's made that it makes you, like, you watch it, like, it's, it feels entertaining even though it's not. Does that make sense? Like, you're pulled in and you're forced to watch it, but it's like, it's heavy the whole way through.
Does not sound like lockdown viewing.
No.
There's no fried food cunt in there that comes in at one point. It's like, does anyone want a deep fried peach?
No, it's an incredible film, but my God, Mish, everything, and listeners, everything we've listed I'm not recommending them right now.
Yeah, that's right.
You watch whatever makes you happy.
Winter's Bone, incredible film. Don't watch it yet. Don't watch it just yet.
You don't need to watch that.
You don't need to watch it just
unless you're like my partner and you like to lean in. Go for it.
What's another unrelentingly depressing film that's really good? I'm trying to think of, like, just sad.
Really? They're really good. They're really good.
Arguably Gone with the Wind.
Oh, yeah.
That's just a very depressing film. There's moments of lightness where she, like, her and Rhett Butler fall in love and, like, whatever, but it's incredibly depressing because she's in love with Ashley. Have you seen Gone with the Wind?
I've not seen Gone with the Wind.
Oh, my God. Vivian Leigh is in love with Rhett Butler. No, wrong. Vivian Leigh is in love with Ashley, but Ashley's marrying his cousin. But then Rhett Butler sees Vivian Leigh and he's like, wow, she's hot. Rhett Butler's got coin.
Yeah.
But Vivian Leigh's not interested. She just wants to marry Ashley. And even though her mammy says, no, Ugh. You may not. Yes, it's the name they use in the – I have to use it. That's her name in the film.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Her name is Hattie McDaniel, and she was the first ever person of colour to win an Oscar.
And then it was another 74 years before Halle Berry won. And that's then we exactly teased right. her for crying. Go back and rewatch that acceptance speech, Mish.
Yeah, I know. It's fucked.
It's incredible. Powerful.
It's so fucked. That, like, she copped so much shit for that.
Because she's like, yeah, anyway, go back and watch it. I just watched
it. I was telling you the story of Gone with the Wind. Anyway.
You were with no colour or detail. You were just going through the 3-hour film.
But at the end of the day, Ashley still wants to be with his cousin. Vivian Leigh ends up marrying Rhett Butler. Mm. But Rhett Butler goes, you don't love me, and then leaves. And then she's like, well, but Rhett, where should I go? What should I do?
Oh,
and he turns around and he says, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. And then she goes and cries on a hill with a carrot. And then she says, no, I'll go back to Rhett and tell him I love him because, you know, tomorrow is another day. And then hopeful music and, like, it, you know, dissolves.
I should watch Gone with the Wind. That's very high on my list of old movies I need to watch. I watched Casablanca.
Very depressing, though.
Yeah.
Very depressing.
Here's my thing. I think that for storytelling, you kind of need – I'm a big believer in contrast. That's just me. This is me taking off my hat, my funny hat, and saying, as an artist myself, not that I make art, I just make cum jokes, but if I were to make art.
You're an excellent artist, Zach, don't
you? Oh, bless you. No, I haven't earned that. But what I'm saying is a big thing in my big belief for me is contrast. Contrast is such a big key. If you want to make people feel depressed, you have to contrast it with something. And if you want to have people let you in, you have to give them joy to let them in. It's like, I think that the most devastating endings of films for me, when a film is truly like, oh, in its ending, like, is usually because there was hope. Usually because there was hope in that story, and then 100%. The choice at the end was to give you the hopeless, you know. And that, when I'm like fully like by an ending, it's because I was given hope.
To me, when it's done badly, is when I don't care who ends up as the misfortunate one or the unfortunate. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? When I don't give a shit who ends up dying or poor, like if I'm not backing anybody, that to me is when it's done poorly. I'm not saying Joe the King did that. I was backing Joe. Wanted that little preteen cunt to find good in the end. Also backing Johnny Legs because it's Johnny Legs.
And we do have to talk about, sorry, you were saying.
Yeah. I think that this film, Joe the King, didn't do what I just said. Like I said, I was backing Joe. I think we were meant to back Joe, even though he was a little shit and he robbed people and he said cheeky things and stuff.
He's a good boy.
He's a good little boy and we want him to do well. To me, like, I'm going to go back to the hollow point. I didn't give fuck who got shot. When there were big shootout car scenes and it's like someone died, I'm like, I don't care who it is. That's a problem for me. Do you know what I mean?
Because it's like you to truly make someone feel depressed, I think if you give people depressing things for a long time, you go, you don't feel depressed, you feel like, ugh, icky. Whereas if you want to make someone feel depressed, you give them hope, you take it away. You have to give them the feeling that the people on screen are having. That's what I think I'm landing on. A sense that there's a way out. And I think that, you know, that's something that I would have, you know. Imagine a Billy Elliot where you watch all the Billy Elliot and then at the end they're like, nah, fuck ya.
Oh, awful.
That would have been depressing. Awful. But it would have worked. It would have worked. That plot with a depressing ending would have worked.
That's why, do you ever watch Game of Thrones?
No.
I can't say anything then.
Like, but isn't everything like super, super like just unrelenting?
Well, yeah, are you going to talk? There's a specific
The Red Wedding,
example.
I'm guessing.
No. So I binge watched the first three seasons, I think it is, four seasons of Game of Thrones. And there was a character that came into either season three or four, I think it's four. Character that came in at season four became my favorite character. And I was like, I reckon he's going to be the one on the throne. I reckon it's going to be them. I love him and he's our hope. And then cunt killed him and he died. And I'm not going to say who it was or how he died, but I then stopped watching Game of Thrones for like 3 years.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, I can't do that anymore. But incredible that I'd had that response, you know what I mean? That it was able to evoke that from me.
Yeah, I feel you, man. But then it also it's like you've got to – because I never watched Land of the Dead. There was the Dead. Anyway, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I just wasn't in the mood for unrelenting depression. I wasn't in the mood for – I'm up for having my emotions toyed with. I just wasn't in the mood for like just
– You can't be mad at me though because I picked this film before we locked down.
I'm not mad at you.
I promise you that the next one that we do – so after – like I promise you – will be lighter.
No shade to you. I'm more saying it as a defense of the movie because, like, I'm not coming out of this movie going, you have to watch Joe the King, but that's not Joe the King's fault. That's just I wasn't in the mood for Joe the King. I don't know if I would have loved Joe the King anyway. I'm just saying I don't think I'm an authoritative voice on it right now because I wasn't in the mood.
Do you know how I want to wrap this up?
I have one point about Johnny Legs, though.
Yeah, go.
One moment of joy in this film for me was I forgot which era of Johnny Legs it was being made in.
Yeah.
I think I thought it was a little later. I think I was expecting Dad Guizamo. And we got like full, I would say Hollywood Guizamo. Like it was full, like I think it's the hottest he's ever been.
Oh, wow, really?
Well, up there. Like it's in that era. Like this is like Tybalt, like this.
It's one year after Tybalt.
That's what, and I just was like watching this movie and I was like, oh my God, I was expecting Dad Guizamo and here we have just like this shining beacon of human perfection. And I was like, good for you, Johnny. Good for you, Johnny Legs.
I picked this film. So the method behind my madness of picking this film was because we hadn't done a good, proper sexy Luigi in a while.
Mm.
This is definitely Leguizollywood.
Mm.
But
which is a subset of the sexy Luigi.
Of the sexy Luigi. And I just needed a bit of sexy Luigi. How I'd like to wrap this up is if we each just throw out there our favourite Val Kilmer film. I have two.
Okay, sure. I might have to like IMDb it because I all I'm thinking of is the Batman one, which is
That's one of my Batman and Robin is one of my like I would say genuinely top 25 favorite films.
He's not Batman and Robin. He's Batman
Forever.
Forever. Yeah.
Sorry, that's what I meant.
But Batman and Robin is top 25.
I got confused. Batman and Robin is my 20. It's top 25. Batman Forever is like not even top 100, but like great.
It's good.
My favorite Val Kilmer film by far is Willow.
Oh, fun. I've never seen Willow.
Oh, you should. That's a nice lockdown watch.
This is a lot. Like there's a lot of my haven't watched have come up in this list.
A lot of Val Kilmer. What would that be called? The Val Kilmerama.
Kilmerama. Do you know I've only seen half of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang? Got to watch all of that at some point. Mm. My favourite Val Kilmer film is what was it called? Top Secret.
Haven't seen it.
Top Secret is his first ever movie I'm seeing now on IMDb. I didn't realize it was his first ever movie. Top Secret is
My God, it's got Omar Sharif in it, who is from Funny Girl, who Zach and I often discuss is a movie that we need to watch together.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we should. Let's do it. Come around to my place. Oh, you can't because of Gladys Berejiklian. Yeah, that's it. I'm getting political.
Are we cutting that?
Nah, I don't care. it's her fault. It's ScoMo's fault. Fuck them.
All of them. Fuck them.
Nah, Tom, cut that.
Just beep it.
No, it is. It's their fault. I'm not saying like I try not to be political, but it is their fault.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have played politics on this one. She should have just done a hard lockdown.
I'll have to watch Top Secret.
So Top Secret is like the Zucker brothers and it's it's full like Airplane. Like it was the one I grew up watching. You know how like that like Airplane and Top Gun and all those films. This was Hot Shots. This was the one I grew up watching. Most people watch to Hot Shots. But I love this film so much. There's a bit in it where he goes, I can't remember if it was him or she goes, because it's all about a spy in Nazi Germany. And there's this bit in it where she goes, I know a little German. He's over there. And there's a little
very
German.
Very cute.
It's very, very, it's just like so funny. So many jokes.
That's very cute. What about Leguistamos though?
This movie, he executive produced it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that he executive produced it and then didn't give himself a lead. I thought that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
He is having fun. He shot it in a couple of days, apparently.
Yeah. Ethan Hawke's in it too.
Ethan Hawke is like so in it and he's so Ethan Hawke in it. I love Ethan Hawke. I love Ethan Hawke. I'm getting all fired up about how much I love Ethan Hawke.
I do like Ethan Hawke, but I rewatched Reality Bites recently and that movie has not aged well.
No.
It really has not aged well. Although I will say this, Ben Stiller is fucking hot in that film. I don't know what it is about Ben Stiller in that movie.
But still, like, that was him deciding, like there was like a roll of the dice about whether he would be a comedic actor or a dramatic actor. And,
well, no,
and
he
directed it.
Yeah.
He directed that, and then a year later he directed The Cable Guy. And like Reality Bites, and so did Cable Guy, everything to Bradley from him, but then Zoolander. Ethan Hawke in Boyhood is like, have you seen Boyhood?
I have not seen Boyhood.
Oh, Mish, I know you've listed 73 things I need to watch, but Boyhood is, if we're talking, actually, here's my, before I get my Leguistamo, here's my, what I would recommend off the back of this. Of all the things I've said, Boyhood is a beautiful example of an exploration of youth and everything. Do you know that about Boyhood? That's the one that they filmed one.
Were they aged over 10 years or something?
Yeah, I'll be real here. You've got to find 3 hours to watch a movie about a boy just living his life.
Yeah.
I'm here with you when I say, yeah, maybe you're not going to be in the mood for it for a couple of weeks. But Ethan Hawke in that is so beautiful, and he's like such a prick.
Okay. I will watch that in the next week. Mark my bloody words.
Great.
Because I've got the time.
And I'll watch.
Have you ever seen Sinister with Ethan Hawke? It's a horror film.
No.
Pretty bit scary.
I watched The Predestination with Ethan Hawke the other day.
Oh, that's nice. I'm gonna recommend to you the same movie I recommend to you all the time, which is, can you please watch Coherence?
All right, I'll watch
Incoherence. Incoherence.
Ah, that's very like lo-fi though, isn't it?
That's fun.
I really want to watch it, but I'm going to just own it and say not in the mood for lo-fi right now.
All right, that's fair. Then watch This Boy's Life.
Okay. Any real fucked Val Kilmer ones you want to recommend?
Oh, real fucked Val Kilmer films. Let me just think. What have I seen that's real fucked with Val Kilmer in it? Obviously, there's Batman and Robin. That's pretty fucked. He's in Top Gun.
Do you know what? I've never seen Top Gun. That's going to be my little personal...
I got asked the other day on Instagram what movie I would have liked to have seen John Leguizamo be in. Top Gun was one of them.
Top Gun would be great.
Oh, do you know what you should watch? Watch True Romance.
Yeah, I've never seen True Romance.
With Patricia Arquette.
Yeah.
Gary Oldman's in that film. I'll watch True Romance.
Fuck yeah. All right, I'm going to watch True Romance. You watch Boyhood, but you don't have to watch it if you're not in the mood for it this week.
I think we just both watched True Romance.
True Romance is so good.
Yeah, it's so good. All right, Leguistamo's,
I'm giving it...
let's say it together on the count of three.
Three, two, one, four.
Three Leguistamo's. Great. So you're giving it four, I'm giving it three. Great. And the reasoning, love a sexy Luigi. I just wish there'd been a bit more of him in it. And not just because I love John Leguizamo and I want to see him all the time. I liked his character and I liked his character's relationship with Joe. It was by far my favourite relationship in the whole thing, and it just wasn't really explored that much. That's why.
Yeah, I feel you on that. I liked his big shirt.
Yeah, it's nice. Tom, can you please chuck a little bit of slow jazz underneath this?
Just this little bit.
Hey, Zach and I just want to do a quick shout out to our listeners currently in lockdown all over the world. You can get through this. Just watch True Romance with Zach and Mish this week, starring Val Kilmer.
We'll have already watched it by the time you listen to this.
That's true, but highly recommend.
Yeah.
And you guys, you've got this, daddy-o. Oh, fuck, I'm sorry. I just wanted to add something because I felt like this had been so, like...
Good night, everybody.
Night. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.